Greetings in the name of Christ to you all. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a warm welcome from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. It'll be lovely to know who's worshipping with us, as I cannot see you here this morning. So there's a form above this video. Just type in your name and your location and push on that red button. In our service today, Dr. Liz Cope, one of our circuit stewards and also a local preacher, will be preaching. And she's going to be preaching on the parable that Jesus told of the king who gave a wedding banquet for his son and the guests who made excuses and didn't turn up, and how he then invited all to the feast. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please join me now in our call to worship, written by Nancy Townley. Your parts are in white. Come, the banquet of hope and praise is ready. We come on your invitation, seeking to be fed. Feed on the love of God in Jesus Christ. We come on your invitation, needing healing. Be healed by God's gracious mercy. We come on your invitation, longing for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, you are loved, healed, and forgiven. Alleluia. Praise be to God. So welcome to this place. All are welcome here to come and know God's grace. Let's walk and talk and dream together for a while. So we begin by singing our opening hymn.
Cause all of us are welcome here. all are welcome in this place.
Let us come before God in prayer. Gracious God, in love you open wide the doors and welcome us into your presence, saints and sinners alike. You spread a table before us filled with the richest fare, a feast of love and mercy for the body and soul. But we often find excuses not to come. You lovingly prepare for our arrival, yet we ignore your efforts. Forgive us, God. We come now with joy to meet you here, to celebrate your grace and mercy in our lives. May your Spirit inspire our praise and thanksgiving, our prayers and petitions, as we worship together in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our host and Lord. Amen. Neil Heppelthwaite is going to read our scripture for us today. Neil is one of our circuit stewards and is also employed as our circuit media development worker.
The reading is taken from Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14, and this is from the Message Bible. Jesus responded by telling still more stories. God's kingdom, he said, is like a king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out servants to call in all the invited guests, and they wouldn't come. He sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, "Look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast." They only shrugged their shoulders and went off, one to weed his garden, another to work in his shop. The rest, with nothing better to do, beat up on the messengers and then killed them. The king was outraged and sent his soldiers to destroy those thugs and level their city. Then he told his servants, "We have a wedding banquet all prepared, but no guests. The ones I invited weren't up to it. Go out into the busiest intersections in town and invite anyone you find to the banquet." The servants went out on the streets and rounded up everyone they laid eyes upon, good and bad, regardless. And so the banquet was on, every place filled. When the king entered and looked over the scene, he spotted a man who wasn't properly dressed. He said to him, "Friend, how dare you come in here looking like that?" The man was speechless. Then the king told his servants, "Get him out of here, fast, tie him up and ship him to hell. Make sure he doesn't get back in." That's what I mean when I say many get invited, only a few make it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. My name is Liz Cope. I'm a local preacher from the Ipswich Circuit, based mainly at Elmsett Methodist Church. However, today I'm preaching from my dining room, and you'll see a place setting for an imaginary wedding banquet or a dinner party. The other day I was looking at our wedding photos, particularly the one you know that you have with all the wedding guests on. I remember when we were preparing the guest list and my mother saying to me, "Well, you have to invite Cousin Muriel, and if you invite her, you must invite Cousin Anne." I'm sure many of you will have had similar experiences when planning a wedding celebration. Apparently, it was even worse when my parents got married. My grandmother and her future son-in-law almost coming to blows over the guest list and the seating arrangements. Neither of our sons have got married yet, so I'm eagerly awaiting the opportunity of buying a new hat, that other important feature of planning a wedding, what to wear. Today's gospel reading is one of three stories where Jesus uses the illustration of a feast or a banquet. Then, as today, everyone loved gathering together with family and friends to celebrate the marriage of two people in love. There were great preparations. Calves were fatted up, the prize beef was cut, and the finest wines served. The custom then was to send out an initial invitation to the wedding feast some time in advance. And then, when the feast was ready, a second invitation was sent, telling people to come and join in the celebrations. In this story, there were not two, but three invitations sent out. The story starts with servants being sent out to call in all the invited guests. They had already had their first invitation, and this was the second one asking them to come along. But all those who'd been invited refused to come. Undeterred, the king tried again. However, now those invited didn't refuse, but simply ignored the messengers. How rude! Imagine you've invited friends to a lavish meal, and you've sent out invitation to a son's wedding, and all the guests refuse to come. I'm not sure what I would do. However, you might swallow your pride and send out a second invitation, explaining there really is good food and some excellent wines. Only this time, you hear no reply, but find out that some have gone to work. Others have decided they would rather spend the time on routine admin tasks. You might not be surprised if you felt pretty cheesed off or even angry. So you say to yourself, it's their loss. I'll go out and I'll invite all sorts of people to the party, just because I can and because I want to. Not because they are Cousin Muriel or Cousin Anne, or I went to their wedding so I must invite them back. You just go up to the guy standing at the corner of the street or the girl serving at the petrol station and invite them to come to a party. That is what the first part of Jesus' story is about. God had invited his chosen people. He'd invited Cousin Muriel and Cousin Anne. He'd invited the Jewish nation. But they had refused to come. He then sent out another invitation, trying to tempt them with details of what was on offer. But they said, so what? And continued with their everyday lives. They were not prepared to put the business of everyday life aside in order to join in the celebration of the king. What I hadn't realised until looking into this passage was that the king broke away from convention of sending just two invitations and in fact sent out three, giving each of the guests yet another opportunity to take up the invitation. When God invites us into his kingdom, he doesn't stick to the rule book, but is prepared to break with convention and will invite us again and again. How do we respond? Do we refuse? Do we ignore him? Do we make excuses? I'm too busy doing the business of church. I've got more important things to do than share in your celebrations. This brings us to the second part of the story. The king therefore discards the initial invitations and sends out his servants to invite anyone and everyone off the street who will come. This is an easy message. God's kingdom is freely available to all, good and bad. That's the comforting message that we can take away, if it were to end there. However, our Bible passage doesn't end there. And as you read on, it makes for some rather uncomfortable reading. One of the guests, invited unexpectedly at the last minute, is confronted by the king. Why are you not wearing the required wedding garments? The man is speechless. The custom at that time was that all guests would be given smart robes to wear during the celebrations, and not to be seen wearing them would have been an insult to the host. It would imply arrogance and an assumption that the guest felt themselves above the host, or that the guest didn't want to join in the celebrations. Gone are the days, thankfully, when women had to go to church wearing their Sunday best hat. I remember when my teenage son turned up to school, to church, in a baseball hat and flowery shorts. And fortunately, nobody commented. Just think for a moment. If you were invited to a friend's house for a meal, you'd probably change out of your gardening clothes. You'd wash the oil off your hands or and face if you'd been fiddling about with your car before you went round to their house. Why? Respect. The social norm is that if you're invited out for a meal, you try and dress smarter than if you'd been digging the garden or under your car in the garage. It's the measure of esteem with which you hold your friend. However, we all know it's not a fashion parade coming to church. It is something much deeper than that. And Jesus is making that point here also. We don't know whether all the other guests who were invited off the streets were dressed appropriately, but the assumption is that they were. The point that Jesus is making here is that this particular guest had chosen not to put on the garments offered to him. He did not respect the host of the banquet. Do we want to come to the party but are not prepared to participate? Do we want to come to the party but are not prepared to change? God loves all and invites all to the party is a comforting message. And this is the message of the first part of the story. However, in this second part of the story, Jesus is saying, God loves us all, whoever we are, where we are, but is not prepared to let us stay as we are. When Jesus met the blind and the lame, he didn't say, you are all right to stay as you are. Rather, he healed them and he changed them. When he met the prostitutes and extortioners, his love reached out to them where they were, but refused to let them stay as they were. Lives were transformed, healed, changed. God loves all. God loves the serial killers and the child abusers. He loves the gangsters and the terrorists. God loves the ruthless and arrogant businessman or the uncaring politician. The point of God's love is that he wants people to change. He hates the wrong things we all do. He hates the effects some of our actions have on others. He hates the effects our actions have on ourselves. This may all sound quite depressing, but remember, this is a story about a celebration, a wedding feast. It's a story about joy and celebration. It's not so much about punishment and suffering and what we should not do. Rather, it's more about the precious things we will be missing if we do not take up the invitation to join in the banquet. And this invitation is freely given to all people, good and bad. God's invitation is an invitation of grace. Those who came to the banquet had no claim on the king. They would never have expected an invitation. It is grace that offered the invitation and grace that brought them to the feast. So how many times do we need to be invited to the party? We have a choice. Do we refuse or ignore the invitation? Do we make excuses why we cannot come? And what are the clothes we're going to wear to the party? Christ, as the host of the party, gives us the garments. He gives us the garments of love, justice, humility, penitence, and reverence. It's an open invitation. We must be ready. We must choose to wear the garments that Christ offers us. Will you come to the banquet? Let us pray. Loving Father, you invite us to the celebration. Forgive us when we refuse or ignore that invitation. May we choose to wear the garments you give us and celebrate with joy the coming of your kingdom. Amen.
Thank you, Liz, for your message to us and the challenge to examine our excuses and to accept and wear the clothing that Christ offers us. As we listen or sing our next song, there's a wideness in God's mercy. Let's remember and celebrate Christ's freely given invitation to each one of us, his invitation of grace, mercy, kindness, and love. It's number 416. Let us pray together. God, we thank you for your faithful love, your love that never fails, not even when we turn away from you, when we ignore your invitation. As you welcome us, so you welcome our prayers. We bring them to you with confidence, knowing that you will hear and answer. We pray for the world that you created, and the people who share it with us. We especially pray for areas of natural disaster at the moment, for droughts around the world, for flooding, and for fires out of control. We pray for the leaders of all nations, especially lifting up President Trump, diagnosed with COVID. We pray for healing. We pray for all around the globe with COVID, especially our own country with rising numbers. We pray for all those who govern, for the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, and for our MPs and all who hold office, for employers and employees, and for all people of all ages and races. We pray for our local community, for those who are unemployed, hungry, alone, or afraid, and for those who are sick. In silence now, we lift up the names of those that we know and other concerns that are on our hearts. Pour out your Spirit on us. Fix our hearts and minds on what is true and honourable and right. Give us the joy and peace that comes from knowing and doing your will. Keep us faithful to the call we've received in Christ Jesus our Lord, extending your loving invitation to the world around us. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Saviour and friend, saying together the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'd like to thank those who participated in our service today, Liz Cope and the message that she brought us, for Neil Heffelwaite for reading the scripture, and Neil and Elizabeth Story and my husband Adrian Pell for the music for our service. Thank you to them all. Next week, our circuit superintendent, Reverend Derek Grimshaw, will be preaching, and in his message, he will reflect on the Pharisees' question to Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor, and what we are called to do. We come now to the time in our service when we offer ourselves to God, offering our time, our talent, and our treasure. I encourage you at this point in time to give to your local church and the work that's being done by your local church in Christ's name. Let us pray a blessing over your offering. Creator God, you are our provider. We offer all that we have and all that we are to you because we belong to you. Bless these gifts and empower us, your church, that through the work of your Spirit we may be a place of gracious welcome to all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 477, Teach Us to Dance. So clothed with the garments that we've been given, let us ask God to teach us to move our whole bodies in response to God's grace. Teach us to dance to the beat of God's heart with the heart of compassion, with energy blazing and a will that obeys. Let's listen or sing together.
Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your Spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in your word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. You wrote the rhythm of life, created heaven and earth. In you is joy without measure. So like a child in your sight, I dance to see your delight, for I was made for your pleasure. Pleasure. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to move in the power of your Spirit. Teach me to walk in the light of your presence. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart. Teach me to love with your heart of compassion. Teach me to trust in the word of your promise. Teach me to hope in the day of your coming. Teach me to dance to the beat of your heart.
once express a heart that loves to say yes, a will that leaps to obey you. Let all my energy blaze to see the joy in your face, let my whole being praise you.
Go from here, wearing the clothes that Christ has given you. Go and extend God's welcome to all whom you meet. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's children say, Amen.